truth be told, or your bullshit getting old. The world is getting cold. Don't nobody owe you nothing, so quit fronting. Nothing wrong with being honest. It's a lot of broken promises. Truth be told, we could communicate without all the gun violence. All it took was one conversation. It'll prevent a whole lot of altercation.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Truth Be Told. I am your host, as always, James C. Turner Jr. And tonight I have a very special, extremely talented, up-and-coming musician. Her name is Melanie Taylor. Melanie, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, thank you for coming on. I've been trying to get you on, so I'm so glad to be able to get you on now.
Yes, we finally coordinated our schedule.
Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, how holidays? You know, it's busy.
Exactly. Yeah. Super busy. Right,
so first things first, okay? Where were you born and raised, and how were you introduced into music?
Where I was born and where I was raised are both very different. I was born in Upland, California, which is like near Santa Barbara area. And then my mom was like a single working mom, so we kind of bounced around a lot in throughout San Diego. And I went to like 4 or 5 different schools like growing up. So it was like always the new kid and making new friends, and that was interesting, but I think like taught me good life skills about, you know, just meeting people and kind of having to be more extroverted. And I got into music because of that actually. Since my mom was working, I would like have to do these after school programs, and we found some that were like theater based, and so that's really just like how I got into musical theater. But I was always singing before then, when I was like not even speaking yet. My mom would say that I would like point to the radio and be like la la, and I was like make songs and like literally like put my head out the window because I like didn't want her to hear my songs yet. And so I would make up the song, and then when I felt that they were ready, then I would come into the car and I would like sing them to her. So you could say that I was always a songwriter, which is just funny. And then I not much has changed, although I don't sing my songs out the window. So yeah, I was just always interested in it, and so that's why I like got into theater, and she got me into like voice lessons and has always been super supportive of my craft and wanting to do this. And I can't thank her enough for that. So, yeah, but no one else in my family really came from the entertainment industry like at all. So I was like in acting classes and was close enough to LA. So she would like drive me up for auditions, and I did some acting when I was a kid. I always kind of knew that this is what I wanted to do.
So in doing theater and the acting, did you have any slight interest in possibly doing that? If like, you know, you decided music wasn't working out, or.
In doing acting. Yeah. Yeah. I was always in some kind of a musical theater play. So I would say like music has always been attached to acting for the most part. But when I was in high school, I remember thinking like in terms of what I wanted to like go to school for, I was like, oh, acting is going to be so much easier, so I'm going to do that instead of music. And it's like really not. It's really like whatever you want to do is going to be hard, so you might as well just do what you love, right? So I kind of actually, when I first moved out here, did more acting than singing, and music just got me. It was like, what are you doing? Like, this is like really what you want to be spending most of your time on and everything. And so I just kind of like, it just was a natural progression. I started like working with more music producers and putting out more stuff, and that just kind of like slowly consumed me. But I still like have an agent and a manager, and I like for acting, and I still like will go out on auditions, and have recently actually been like going to classes more and like been pursuing that a little bit more. But music is my first love for sure.
Well, speaking of music, who were some of your early influences, and who's one artist that you would love to collaborate with if you had the opportunity?
Well, I grew up just like binge watching Michael Jackson music videos. That's probably like, I mean, the reason that I do what I do is because he made me feel something so strongly that I didn't even know what that was, right? And I was just like, I want to do that for other people. So him as an artist in whole. And then I would say that, like, more recently, my music has been very influenced by, like, Alanis Morissette and kind of No Doubt and, like, some 90s.
Classics.
Oh, yeah, yeah, classic stuff. And like recently I really love like Bishop Briggs, and I don't know if you know an artist named like Donna Missel. I really love like what they're doing. And so I would love to collaborate with either of them. And then of course every artist is always like Ryan Tedder. It would be an incredible producer to work with. I don't know if you've been watching Songland, but I know a couple people that were on that show, and it's just so cool to like that they're showcasing how that process works for songwriters. And you just like, especially watching Ryan Tedder work, you're like, that would be a dream.
It kind of shows you a different perspective too. I like that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
What has been some of your favorite venues to play at, and why?
Absolutely the Troubadour in LA, because that's just such a historical, legendary venue. Like so many, you know, greats have played at, and it still looks like exactly the same as it did, I think, like back in the 70s or whenever it was like really huge. And so just like feeling the energy on that stage was amazing. I love that their green room is like up, kind of like you go like up the staircase, but then the staircase leads down into the stage. So that was like, really fun playing with that. I was doing my show. Same thing with the Viper Room in LA. And yeah, so in terms of like LA shows, I just kind of recently started touring more to outside places. I would say Seattle was like a really cool place to play. So I'm excited to hopefully do more of that this year.
Yeah, huge music roots in Seattle, definitely. Like, you know, Pearl Jam and Nirvana, that's my kind of music. So I definitely,
yeah,
that's right. Pretty cool that you went to Seattle. Speaking of, you said traveling recently, what's hard about, you know, touring and being on the road?
Well, when you're touring, you're looking to expand your audience, right? So it's like you don't have that base as much of people that like I do when I play shows in LA. So it was the main like trick in that, I would say, is to like find other artists that you can do other shows with that can like kind of help to build that base audience. And that was like a little challenging because I think that like they sometimes thought that like I was bringing a lot of people in, like, and sometimes we did, but it was just kind of like, we're trying to like make this a collaboration, not like a one-sided thing. So it's, you know, it's always like building and expanding your numbers. And then let's see, like one time we had, we luckily got there early, but my drummer had something like break or wasn't working like with his hardware. And we had to like run out or what, I guess like one of the other bands like luckily could cover. But in that situation, it's like, what do? You can't just go home and like get your backup stuff. Like,
right.
Yeah. So yeah, the show must go on.
Is it tough to maintain like, you know, a social life when you're touring so much and you're busy in a band? Is it hard to like have relationships?
Well, I just got engaged.
Congratulations.
So I would say that I think it's manageable, but you know, I don't tour enough for that to be like a problem. In fact, that's something that like is what made it more manageable for me to say like, okay, I can actually go out and do this. Like I had always had in my head this concept that like, if you're touring, you know, you're out like 6 or 8 months out of the year and you're doing this. But I think it's important for like indie artists to understand that like you can still hit a week here or there that's like within driving distance and like make it short and sweet and get a lot of cities out and expand your network, but not have to have it like take over your entire life. Cause you know, it's expensive to like save up for the van and all the stuff that you're doing if you're like really grassrootsing it. And so I just like say that to say that like even last year, I didn't know that that was necessarily possible until another friend of mine who's in a band said that they did that and they hit like the same places like twice a year, but they just go for out for a week and come back. And I was like, oh, I can do that. You know, a lot of work though, to like organize it with all the venues and everything like that. But, it's definitely more manageable than I think sometimes people think of. They're like, oh, I can't even do it. Cause it just would, you know, it would be like too much effort to do it. But yeah.
Right. I'd imagine it's important to have some kind of support group, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Luckily, like when I did this, I did two different little tours like last year, but the bigger one last June I did with my friend and she and I like kind of went at it together. And it was cool because we actually were able to like share the same band and then have and then like they both played each other's music. So that was really nice because it's just, you absolutely have to like love the people that you're spending that much time with and going out with. Otherwise I just don't know how that would work because it should be fun. You know, it should be fun first. That's why you're doing music.
Absolutely. And then yeah. It's more like work if not, you know?
Yeah. And then it's like, what are you really doing it for? You know, it's gotta be worth it for you.
Absolutely. Talking about creative, you got to tell me who came up with the video idea for Adderall, because the visuals in that I thought were incredible.
Yeah, thank you. That has absolutely to date been my favorite song and project that I think I've worked on overall, although like each one of my songs is its own like my own little baby. But I knew that I wanted that to be I wanted it to have two dancers in it, doing that kind of a thing. And I've been working with my artistic director, choreographer, G Madison, for years now. He works with like, he's on tour with like Mariah Carey and has worked with like Rihanna and Beyonce. I mean, you name it. He's like worked with them. And I've just been lucky enough to know him for so long. And he's one of those people that like just elevates any room that he's in. So it's always like a really special thing to work with him. And he brought in those two dancers, choreographed it, and kind of like artistically directed the shoot, and took it from like my concept of like, I want two dancers to kind of like do this more modern piece to like the whole storyline of it. Like you're just had a fight. You're like walking around aimlessly. You like walk into this theater where these two people happen to be like dancing out the story of like your life right now. And it just like touches you. So that was cool. And he went so above and beyond. I like, cause that, you know, it's a dance song, but it's also talking about like some really heavy shit that I was going through at the time. And when I saw the dance for the first time in rehearsal, I just like broke down in tears because he was able to like translate things through dance that like I couldn't even say in the lyrics, you know. It's like that's what's so cool about collaborating with music and dance. It's like you're able to express things that the music even, it's like another layer, you know, of what that is. So yeah,
absolutely. And for those who haven't seen that, that's definitely something I would recommend you check out because it's definitely well made. It's fantastic.
Thank you.
How do you feel that you have grown as an artist since you started?
Wow. Well,
ain't it on you?
You're always growing. And I feel like so when I started out as like I was going to be like a professional artist, I already had a lot of like musical theater background and stuff. So I feel like I already kind of had like a certain amount of stage presence down. But there's something just really magical that happens when you actually like start recording an album and you get to like hear yourself over and over and over again in the booth and like really fine tune your voice. So that was like a really special thing that started to happen when I actually started like recording. My voice just got like so much stronger and more defined as to like how I want it to come off to people too, if that makes sense. And then like one thing that's been special for me as a performer is like you start to kind of like after like all the nerves of like your 100th performance like come off, because it takes to just stop being so nervous about like, okay, what if I mess up or whatever, and then just like finally making it more about like connecting with my audience. And that's been really cool to start to like really make it this energetic thing that happens when I'm on stage and connecting with people. And I don't know, it takes a while to get to that point, because like I said, you're just kind of like so in your head about the music and wanting it to feel right or whatever. But for me, that's really why I do this. It's to connect with people and relate with people and make the live show a special thing that they can't just get from like listening to my music. You know, you have to like see it.
And that's what makes it so genuine and great though, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's why I love to go see shows, is to really like see the essence of the performer, not just like hear a canned kind of like performance that I could have just listened to.
Right. It's unique. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any advice for any aspiring musicians?
I mean, this is kind of a cliche thing, but I recently just had kind of a lot of like meditative thought on this, that it's just so important to believe in yourself. That just sounds like such an easy thing to do, but it's not. Like, it's like so easy to fall into the trap of like wanting to hear praise from like everyone that you meet about your music, or is it good enough or whatever. And like, you really just have to advocate for yourself 10 times out of 10. Like, you know, people respect it. It's like hard, I think, for artists to self-promote, and you know, it never feels like natural to be like, look at me, I'm so amazing or whatever. But to some degree, you have to like, while still being humble, like talk about your accolades, because no, you know, you got to be your number one fan.
No, that makes total sense. Actually, I don't think that's cliche at all. That's a great answer.
Yeah. You know, and just keep going, because it's, you never know what thing is going to lead to the next thing. I mean, I can't tell you like how many times I thought that like somebody that I met was just going to be like, oh, an acquaintance or something, and then ended up like, if not them, introducing me to someone that like really helped my career. So it's, yeah, you just gotta kind of keep going, because a lot of people quit and give up, and that's the difference between you and somebody that like just get, you know, the stars, and then the people that like just gave up on it. So it's never too late, and you gotta just keep going.
Hey, I like that. And speaking of keeping going, what's in store for Melanie Taylor in 2020?
Yes. Well, actually, just today, I talked to like two different producers that I'm going to be working with on new music, and some EPs coming out. And I have like a new single in the works that's going to come out probably next month. maybe even a couple of them. So I'm just kind of like trying to plan out the dates for them right now. And yeah, just more performances. I'm gonna be doing a show for the first time ever in New York, which I'm so excited about because I've always wanted to play a show in NYC. So that will be really exciting as well, I think in June.
So you guys have no excuse not to go and see her.
Yes.
Melanie, thank you so much for coming on the show. You know, we've been friends for a while now, and you're always welcome to come back on the show. Usually I have, you know, you take this time to say what you're doing, but you obviously did that. But if you want to tell the fans where they can reach you at and stuff like that, this is definitely the time.
Yeah, definitely. I'm probably the most active on Instagram, actually, which is at Melanie Taylor Music. And then my Twitter is Miss MT Music. My website is melanietaylorofficial.com. And I try and keep that pretty updated, but usually my socials are pretty up to date about shows and all that. So, yeah.
So that means she's human, people.
Yeah, I'm like doing it on my own at this point, so I gotta keep it together. I have some help, but yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. And of course, you guys can find me on Twitter at JPZallDay1990 or James C. Turner Jr. on IG. Melanie, thank you again for coming on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This was fun.
Hey, anytime. And make sure you guys all tune in again next week.
Nothing but positive vibes all day. Grinding, trying to make a better way. Better listen to what the songs say. Truth be told, you better slow your roll. I've been on the same road before. You know I'm the chosen one. I spit flows from the brain. Young G1.